Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, BuyerBarn.com. BuyerBarn.com is the world's first online platform for online sales and auctions of farm animals. That's BuyerBarn.com. Don't forget to follow Ask for Football on all social media platforms or sign up for our mailing list at askforfootball.com/subscribe.
Well, friends, Army got a good win over a quality opponent there in Holy Cross. I am your host, Dano E. Cabeza, coming to you out of Coastal Connecticut. I am joined by Rob, coming to you from Fayetteville, North Carolina. Unknown if Jordan is going to show up. He is in Sioux Falls, Iowa, doing whatever it is that Jordan does. And James is thinking pilot thoughts and doing pilot things. So, Rob, how are we doing, man?
Feeling well, man. Walked around Modern Warfare Week today. Got to chat with – it's always like a family reunion at trade shows, man. Like, yeah, I run into so many people. I run into so many people that either served with or worked with in some other capacity. So it's always nice to reconnect with folks. But looking forward to seeing some Army football, man. Like, making some positive moves. I think, you know, we'll talk about it later, but we've seen the incremental improvements. Now we got to sustain them.
Yeah. I can understand people saying this team is still not as good as we necessarily hoped that they would be when the season started. But after the UMass loss, we said, look, let's just see incremental improvement. And to me, this is what incremental improvement looks like, right? You're slowly getting it together. So that's what I took away from this last game. I mean, that was exactly the kind of game that they've been losing all season by one play. This week they made the play. So
yeah,
I'll take it. As a reminder, this show is brought to you by Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending for Draper & Kramer in Chicago. Craig is a member of the West Point Class of 1994, licensed to lend in all 50 states, but based out of Chicago. Craig is one of the largest VA lenders in the country. He's going to offer you super competitive rates, give you the best deal that he possibly can. And I don't know if you guys know this, but this mortgage process is super confusing. Interest rates move all over the place. You've got all kinds of crazy fees going on. Your credit rating matters. There's all this stuff going on, and you wind up having to sign something like 2 inches worth of paperwork. And it's just not one of these times when you want to deal with somebody who doesn't care about you, who thinks you're a number, who, you know, just some call center, random big box bank, mindless website, you know, get a mortgage from china.com. This is how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at Ask for Football, and we're trying to help you get the best deal on a mortgage that we can by introducing you to the man that you need to meet if you're trying to buy or refinance your house. Plus, this important, Craig does not charge lending fees for veterans. That's a huge savings, like maybe $1,300. Like, that's a lot of money. Get that money. So, Craig Oxane, Vice President of Residential Lending for Draper & Kramer in Chicago. The link's on our website. Just go to askforfootball.com. Click the little icon there with Craig. Fill out a questionnaire. You'll be talking to him in a couple of hours. And that's it. So, with that said, let's get into this review of this Holy Cross game. As we just said, Army won a close game against a very good Holy Cross team this past weekend, 17-14. The Army defense forced two turnovers and blocked a punt for a touchdown. Holy Cross quarterback Matthew Sluka fumbled. That was recovered by linebacker Jackson Powell. Safety Quintrell and Hammonds caught an interception. And yearling Jabril Williams all but tackled the Holy Cross punter early in the game, setting up plebe linebacker Elo Modizai, I hope I said that right, to return the blocked punt for a touchdown. Army then held on through a late comeback attempt in the fourth quarter and won the game. Rob, you want to tell us about the offense?
Yeah, so the offense looked good early. And then struggled through this the quarter and the half in the middle of the second half or second quarter, then finished strong. First half had 111 yards rushing on 17 carries, one rushing touchdown, 2 for 3 passing. Tyrell Robinson looked great, and he scored off a 17-yard run with the option. The option looked great during the first half, despite the fact that Army held the ball for only about 12 minutes. And then the Black Knights failed on fourth and goal from the Holy Cross one, and it seemed like that took the steam out of the rushing attack for the rest of the day. As in the first half, the second half, you know, just 79 yards on 24 carries, so basically cut the production in half to 3.3 yards a carry, went 2 for 3 passing with a net of 9 yards. Army punted twice on short drives early in the half. They managed a 13-play, 66-yard drive with 6 minutes and 48 seconds to net a field goal to get back up to 2 scores. At that point, Holy Cross was down 10 and had less than 5 minutes to play. The Crusaders scored a touchdown Army caught the ensuing onside kick, converted a fourth and one, and from the Holy Cross 26, and then they iced the game. I would tell you, you know, from the offensive performance, I think everybody's starting to see things that we like, but there's also things that we didn't like. I love the fact that they were working the option in the first half. Yeah. I mean, that was good. It looked great. Holy Cross really had a lot of trouble defending the option, and that's really like the first time we've really seen the option used consistently by the team this season. So, you know, again, that's a positive note. The downside is, and I know that was a note in later on in the outline, but not being able to convert on fourth down. I think at some point, you know, the key is if I see Jacoby Buchanan, I know it's a fullback power. So we've got to do something to change that up. You know what I mean? Like that's a tendency, and you don't have to watch a lot of film. Whereas last year, if it was, you know, fullback dive with Jacoby Buchanan with the QB under center, like that's a 3-yard play just about every time. And so I think, you know, they hinted at it, you know, they showed a couple snaps under center, you know, I think there's like three plays from under center and ran a traditional flex bone formation. And I'm okay with that, man. I think that once they kind of get through the battle rhythm of getting the offense set with, you know, the shotgun snap, going back under center is a little bit easier, you know. And I think that's a wrinkle that they could add because, again, like there's still teams that use frick, man. Like Penn State still uses like a full house backfield on
goalie situation. You know, road teams go under center all the time. Like it's not even on fourth and one. Almost every pro team is going under center right now and just doing like some variation of a tush push or some short yardage power play.
Yeah, the bush push has been, you know, the standard for fourth and one for like the last decade in college football. So why change it now? And I understand that you're trying to get into a rhythm and establish, you know, certain things with the offense, which we get. But I also think, you know, coming under center every now and then is, you know, a little bit better. And genuinely, you know, hey, that's another wrinkle, you know, so how do I defend this if they bring it in?
And I sort of think they need to put the fullback dive back into the offense, just even if they run it three times a game. But that's just my opinion. Got a comment here. Progress. The pitching looked much better from Bryson Daly this week. I think that's why we saw way more option. Notable, they ran zero pitch option plays in the second half. And I guess that's because they were up 14-0 and the defense had good success against Holy Cross. So they just said, hey, let's keep it conservative and try not to put a pitch on the turf, which I get. But man, you know, this is one of those cases where you get conservative and it can almost bite you. And if that had happened, that'd be on the staff as much as it was on the execution for going away from what was absolutely working early in the game.
Yeah, I think it's the same comment as a couple of weeks ago. And I think everybody wants to see the offense open up a little bit more. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, Holy Cross may not be the team to tempt fate, though, either, because they're a pretty solid program. You know, and when you look at Matthew Sluka's numbers, like that kid is the number one quarterback rusher in Division I football, FBS or FCS. Like he has the most rushing yards of a quarterback. And so that's a very dangerous proposition, you know, looking at previous games struggling against rushing quarterbacks.
Absolutely. I agree completely. So on defense, we had the same kind of story overall. We got multiple turnovers early, plus the punt block. That set the offense up on a short field repeatedly, but it also meant that the defense was out there a lot, especially in the first quarter. You know, Holy Cross had the ball. You get the punt block, get the touchdown. Hey, that's great. You're up 7-0, but now their offense is right back out on the field, and they're running the crap out of the ball. So by the time Army got their first offensive possession, there was like 4 or 6 minutes left in the first quarter, maybe. So yeah, it was nuts. But at any rate, in the first half, the defense forced a punt touchdown, a fumble, a turnover on downs, an interception, and another punt. And in the second half, they got a goal line stand, turnover on downs at their own 1 yard line. Probably that was the play of the game. No problem. That's awesome. Like talking about winning or losing by one play, that was the decisive play, which is good, right?
Yeah.
And man, when he went up for that pop pass, I thought for sure that they were going to get it. I could not believe that they knocked that thing away. Yeah. But they also gave up like this huge series of quarterback runs that set up a passing touchdown. And then they gave up another quick passing touchdown to make it a game like late. And that was nuts. I mean, it's nobody's idea of a bad performance overall, just in terms of the number of things that, that the defense did right, the number of punts that they forced and all that, you know, they only allowed 14 points. Like, that's not a disaster, but you know, they still gave up 239 yards rushing on 5 yards per carry, including 171 yards on 37 carries to Matthew Sluka. I mean, I understand that he is a beast running the football, but still, you know, good news is they did limit Holy Cross running back Jordan Fuller to just 20 yards on 5 carries, and he's having a heck of a year. Like, he is a good back, but still,
he is.
You know, and I don't want to, I don't want to play it over. Like, the defense put up 5 sacks, 6 total tackles for loss. They only let Sluka throw for 156 yards. This was a good performance, but man, those running quarterbacks who can also make a few throws, that is this defense's kryptonite. We've got a comment here. Defense has seen the biggest improvement this season. Wasn't Holy Cross averaging over 40 points per game before this week? I don't know how many points they were averaging off the top, but they have been an explosive offense. I mean, yeah, they it's weird because they had a good offense and a lousy defense that was allowing a lot of running yards. And this week we saw a completely different game plan. And they honestly ran Army style game plan. You know, it was run the ball, chew up the clock, don't give up a million possessions. Probably the right game plan against the Black Knights, but still kind of a tough week. And they're a good team. And I said in the recap that if they went straight to the American Conference, I bet they'd be middle of the pack. I mean, we've seen a ton of other FCS teams move up to the FBS and suddenly be competitive. And this is one of those teams.
Yeah, and Holy Cross has been, like, dominating the Patriot League for the last couple of years. I mean, they've been finalists, if not winners, of the Patriot League, you know, overall. So, yeah, there's a lot of potential there. And, again, back to Matthew Sluka, that dude is, like, the number one Division One rushing quarterback. So, yeah. I mean, the talent is there. So,
and, oh, by the way, he can pass.
Yeah, he just didn't, you know.
Yeah.
I think that was probably the game plan. It's like, hey, let's not take any additional chances of, you know, turnovers. But I'll cover special teams real quick. Like, we talked about the block punt already. Tyrell Robinson returned a kick for 10 yards. I mean, he's getting his legs back underneath him. I'd like to see, you know, more opportunities for kick return, but again, this is what happens sometimes. And then Quinn Moretzky made his only kick from 26 yards out, and thank goodness, man. Like, imagine the turnaround for that guy, man, because he literally was about to leave the academy a couple years ago.
Oh, I remember,
you know what
that.
I mean?
Yeah,
like, he was in the transfer portal thinking, you know, tempting his fate to try and go somewhere else. And I'm glad that he stayed. And I think he's going to be happy that he stayed as well, because, like, he's had some monumental moments that will not be soon forgotten at Mikey Stadium and Army football.
That's true. I got a comment here. Holy Cross did, in fact, average 37.5 points per game. That is after this game in which they only scored 14. So, yeah, you know, I don't want to harp on this defense. Like, I thought they played well, but they do have to tighten up against running quarterbacks. Like, you will see this again very soon. So, we'll go through the good, the bad, and the ugly, and then we'll do some takes on the game, whatever's left. You want to do the good?
Yeah, so the good, defensive back Jabari Moore made the play of the game this week, breaking up a jump pass on 4th and goal in the Army one to preserve the Black Knights' lead. The best part of it is we've seen Army lose a ton of games like by one play this season, and so arguably they won the one play that they needed to win the game. We talked about the block punt for the TD. Bryson Daly went 4 for 6 on passing, 66.7% for 79 yards. Anytime you get a QB, an Army in particular QB, completing 60% of his passes is pretty good. Didn't have the same rushing performance as the previous week, so he had 19 carries for 83 yards, but that's 4.4 yards per carry. The option game looked really good in the first half. I mean, I think that's the biggest takeaway from the offense this week, was that, like, oh, like, they actually can run the option, and it looked good. And so I think that was the best part of it. The defense forced a ton of turnovers. You know, after getting all the way down to a minus 11 turnover margin and being the lowest team in FBS as far as getting turnovers, Army's first forced 8 turnovers in the last 2 games. Now they sit at minus 4 for the year. You know, not great, but it's a massive improvement by comparison to where we were just a few weeks ago. Army ran a couple plays under center, like we said. I think there's one pass that they missed that was absolutely there. That would have been, like, that would have been a game changer, I think, if you ran from under center and then connected on the pass and the guy is still streaking down the field. Yeah. But
they only missed 2 passes this week, but, man, they were both potential game breakers, because they had, I think it was Robinson in the flat, and he missed him just just dirt dart. And then they had the tight end. And my buddy, whose son is a recruited tight end, said he thought that Ligonfelter turned the wrong way on the play. It looked like Daly threw it behind him, but who knows?
Yeah. Well, you know, body control is one of those things that...
Absolutely.
Yeah,
it looked awkward. Yeah, it definitely looked awkward.
It's just a weird-looking pass. But, I mean, all that being said, you know, good to see the flexbone coming back in that format. And there are ways that you can integrate that into the pistol as well, you know, or to the shotgun. So there are ways that you can run that formation. One of the things I'd like to see, and maybe they're saving it for the Navy game, is like some tackle over plays, because we were very, very successful last year running the, you know, the unbalanced line, and we haven't seen that yet. And I don't know if that's a part of Coach Thatcher's scheme or not, but I think it would be, you know, an added wrinkle, like maybe a tackle over and, you know, some more under center plays. Now that we're this deep in the season, like, nobody's watched any film. They've watched enough film on everything else to know that, like, hey, if Jacoby Buchanan's in, we know that that's going to be a fullback or, you know, quarterback power. So change it up now, you know, and start working on those other wrinkles, because you're going to need them for the Navy game for sure. Moving on to the bad, Nano, you got it.
Yeah. Penalties, man. Army had 6 penalties for 68 yards. Like, it's not that much, but it seemed like every single penalty they had killed a drive or needlessly extended a Holy Cross drive. And then we talked about this. Army needs a new fourth down play. They got stopped on 4th and 1 at the goal line. Holy Cross just could not have read the play better. When Bryson Daly took the ball, I thought for sure he was going to walk in, and then 2 dudes met him at the goal line and just knocked him flat on his ass. As of right now, as of this recording, Army is 19 of 31 on fourth down attempts. That's 61.3%, which is entirely respectable. They're tied for 40th in the nation. However, that's like 38 levels behind where they were last season, probably. I mean, it's not a disaster, but if your identity is tough running inside and controlling time of possession and controlling the clock, you definitely got to be closer than 75% on these fourth downs. And it's just right now, you know, that it just looks like everybody knows what's coming, and that's a problem. And then the ugly, I've got 2 things, man. Holy Cross flopping. Did this come across on TV? Did you see all the flops on TV?
Yeah, I did. And like, dude, I stopped watching the NBA because of flopping. So, like, thank goodness this is only one game.
I've never seen, like, outrageous, crazy flopping in a college football game before. But these Holy Cross Crusaders looked like they belonged on a European soccer pitch. Man, it was gross. You'd see an Army player make incidental, like, clearly incidental, accidental contact. And a 300-yard lineman would take a pratfall like he's John Ritter doing physical comedy in Three's Company. Like, you know, it's like Charlie Chapman out there. Dude's falling all over the place. Like, where is the dignity and self-respect? You know, yeah, a guy checked in the shoulder. Like, you don't have to, you know, take a back bump for the WWE on the turf just to make a point. And then the other ugly thing was, it felt, again, like the referees decided to make themselves a part of this game. And again, I don't think it was malicious or that they were trying to shave points or whatever, but like the head referee called for a million very lengthy reviews at the end of the game, and he got booed out of the stadium for it, right? And then my man gets pissy with the crowd. So here's this clown reffing at West Point on freaking Veterans Day, and he gets pissy with a crowd full of Army veterans. Like, come on, man, sit down. That was awful. Yeah. Like, it's literally, that's just awful. Anyway.
Yeah. Well, there's this thing called reading the room, you know?
I mean,
like, at some point, you could have thrown a million penalties and you know, the game was going to go the way that it was going to go. And again, I think we all have the same kind of connotation. Like, if it's either a quality win or a good enough win that nobody's going to complain, or a horrible enough loss that nobody's going to complain about the officiating. If we're complaining about the officiating, probably it's a good day, you know, as long as
it's either a good day or a terrible day.
Right. Like, but at no point, like, these guys are human. I get it. But like, you need to be sure of what you're doing. And like the over exaggeration of like bumps and plays, like my own, like, I don't know. I grew up in the, you know, way back in the day where, like, if you did that stuff, like, your own teammates would be like, bro, man, like, you're embarrassing the fam. Like, let's not do that. You know,
it was so bad.
But I think the bottom line is, you know, guys were trying to get an edge, you know, and they knew that if they could draw out the penalties, maybe that would be the difference between winning and losing. I would prefer to win it.
Be out there.
Yeah. I would prefer to win it between the tackles, but hey, it is what it is.
We got a comment. Bryson read the play wrong on the goal line. He went too early into the guard, but the hole outside the tackle was open. He tried to make a play and wasn't lucky. I saw it live. It looked like the hole closed as soon as he went in there. I don't know how good the view on TV was. I'm sure that the staff can sit there and dissect it and tell us that some play was there. I'm just telling you what I saw. It looked like they read it pretty well.
Yeah.
Well, the other part of it is it's not impossible to install a flex bone for that. Flex bone play, go with a broken eye, power eye, who cares? Something, you know, like if you're gonna run it between the tackles or if it's fourth and one, like everybody knows, like, hey, the guy's gonna get under center and everybody and his brother, sister's brother's cousin is gonna push him in the back until he gets into the end zone. That is
well, the problem is it, you know, right now the fourth down play is quarterback power.
Yeah, and everybody knows it.
And that's, you know, at least with the triple option, you know, the flex bone under center, you had fullback dive or quarterback keeper. Like, you had that midline option where it sort of could change. And they don't have that right now, that little wrinkle in fourth down. Right now, the fourth down play is quarterback power behind Buchanan usually.
Yeah.
And that's...
Yeah, it's obvious. Like, I don't have to watch a lot of film to figure out what that play is.
So, Rob, you got any more takes on the game?
Yeah, just for me, the big take is, you know, solid first half. I think everybody was pretty pleased with how the first half of the game went. I had no complaints. I think the buzz phrase of the season that I hear a lot of the analysts talk about, and I absolutely agree with, is complimentary football. You know, you had a great defensive stop that led to a special teams blocked punt. And then the offense got on the ball, and then they scored. Like, that is complimentary football. I would just like to see it deeper in the game, particularly in the second half, because you've got to be able to close out. Yes, you've been able to close out the last, you know, the last 2 weeks, but we need a strong finish. You know what I mean? Not like
I mean, listen, they did make the play on the fourth down jump pass play, and they converted the fourth and one to ice the game, you know, with a minute and a half left or whatever. Like, it isn't like it was a disaster, but yeah, that very tail end of the second quarter plus the third quarter, there was some iffy football in there where one long drive could have fixed a lot.
Yeah. Well, I think the main thing is you don't want to leave it to chance. You want to have the best offensive opportunities in the second half, just like you did in the first half. And I think that's really what it is like, don't leave scoring plays on the table. And if there were plays that we could have potentially scored, yes, you know, I'm cool with that, you know, and I personally like cringe every time I see Bryson Daly drop back to pass, because he's like accurate between like 15 and 25 yards. And then after that, I get really, really nervous. Like the short throws I'm nervous on, the long throws I'm nervous on, but like those mid range, like swing passes I'm good with. And maybe it's just a confidence thing or a rhythm thing, but you know, I think part of it is too, like if you watch Coach Thatcher's offense and like some of the other stuff that like James and everybody else has been researching, like it's about getting into that rhythm with those short passes. And I just don't think that we have ever established that short pass rhythm at all this season.
No, not at all. Not even one time.
And, you know, and it goes back to what Coach Drinkall said all those years ago, like all the short passes are is like a long handoff. And like, we have not gotten to the point where we're seeing that long handoff. And I'd like to get there. I don't know if it's going to happen this season. Maybe they're pocketing it for the Navy game so we can like blow the doors off of those cats. I have no idea. But, you know, I think that's, to me, like that's the biggest thing. And of course, the defense, man, got to get off the field. Like, doesn't matter.
They gave up some long third down, you know, some third and longs. They gave up at least one or two fourth and like eights. And I get like Holy Cross after a while didn't want to punt, didn't want to kick a field goal. So they're going for it on like fourth and eight from the 50, which is kind of crazy, but they converted an alarming number of those. My other take on the game is I was really surprised that Matthew Sluka played. Dude had been out for the two previous weeks, and they brought him back for a non-conference game with the Patriot League Championship, like on the immediate horizon. I mean, as soon as he came out, you knew it was going to be a close game because he's a real difference maker on the field. And he's also exactly the kind of quarterback that Army has struggled to stop all season. But it's a little nuts, right, that they didn't hold him out for the Georgetown game and then finish with the Patriot League Championship. Yeah, go ahead.
Well, but you also got to think, for Holy Cross to play Army, like, that's a marquee matchup for them that you want to win, right?
Yeah, I guess so.
You're going to put your best players in to give yourself the best opportunity to win the game. It's the same thing if, like, hey, look, we're not going to start Bryson Daly against Navy because we're not going to put our starter in against our rival. Like, that doesn't make any sense, you know? So I think it's just one of those things where, you know, for their program, yes, Patriot League title is probably important. Beating Georgetown is probably important. Beating Army would probably be this set piece for their season. And so, you know, we're going to throw all the tools at you that we can.
Right, fair enough. And then, like we said, this was incremental improvement. Like, you know, you make that play. When you're struggling, everything is harder. And just getting over the hump and kind of getting that whole trend turned around, that's the best thing about this game, is that they had to struggle and fight, but they still got the result that they wanted. They still got everything turned around. And I think if there's one thing that they could build on, I think that's the biggest thing. So,
yeah, it's fair.
Let's review fact or fiction. Rob said that Army has a passing TD this week. That was fiction, but man, you were close.
Yeah, really? I know. They're teasing it for me.
And it looked like I thought he had it, but he stepped out at the two. I said Kanye Udo runs for 150 yards. That was total fiction. He had 9 carries for just 35 yards. This was not a big Kanye Udo day. I was very surprised. And Jordan says Champ Harris plays 2+ series. Total fiction. Champ Harris didn't see the field. I don't know if we're going to see Champ Harris again this season. I guess we'll see.
Yeah. Totally interesting.
Rob, you want to tell people about our Patreon account?
Yeah, so for sure. If you like Astro Football and you want to support our coverage of Army sports and the American Conference football, we could use your help through Patreon. Go to patreon.com/AstroFootball to learn more. There are some links on our website. At the yearling level, you get our weekly games and locks of the week. And we all got slaughtered last week, so if you listened to us, I apologize, because you probably lost some money on the picks that we made. But if you're a Cal, you get that plus the scouting report. And at the firstie level, you get access to the firstie club, our private Facebook group with our top level patrons. This is the best place to talk about Army football and general college football, because we're all super fans. We try very, very hard to keep it positive, and it's a private group, so whatever happens there stays there. And, you know, as a firstie, you get access to live recording, so you can interact with us during the show. And honestly, we spent a lot of money improving Astro football over the last season, and your help would be awesome to continue this. So we're now on StreamYard, which is helpful with this platform. Allows us to interact with you guys during the show. We're using Podcastle AI to improve our sound quality. We've set regular recording time so people can join us live, and all that stuff takes money, and that is why we need your support. Or if you don't want to be a Patreon, you can just cut us a check and we'll take that one too. But the Patreon, at least you get most of the perks, and at the very least, if you're not willing to, you know, take the paid subscription, jump on the Ask for Football website and sign up for the mailing list, because that helps us out as well.
Yeah, absolutely. So let's talk about Coastal Carolina. After a tough start, Coastal has found its footing and has now won 5 in a row. They lost to UCLA to open the season. Then they beat Jacksonville State and FCS Duquesne, got beat bad by Georgia State. I honestly thought their season was over at that point. And then they turned around and lost the next week to an improved but still not terrific Georgia Southern team. But then they beat App State on the road 27-24, first time they'd ever won at App State. They followed that up by beating Arkansas State, a good Marshall team, a solid Old Dominion team, and a real good Texas State team just this past week. That makes 5 in a row. Coastal's now 7-3, 5-2 in the Sun Belt East. They would be behind James Madison if James Madison was eligible to play for a Sun Belt championship. But since JMU is ineligible, it looks like Coastal is probably going to play Troy for the Sun Belt championship this year. We'll see, but that looks like the most likely scenario. On offense, you're probably aware quarterback Grayson McCall got hurt again, bad hit to the head against Arkansas State. We just kind of talked about this, but I personally think it's unlikely he'll return for an out-of-conference road game with the JMU game and the Sun Belt Championship looming on the horizon. But as we saw this week, like, crazy stuff happens, right? So with that, Coastal has turned to a couple of quarterbacks in place of McCall. Lately, it's been freshman quarterback Ethan Vasco. Vasco is playing like McCall did when he first came out at Coastal. He's gone 35 of 60 passing, which is 58%, for 326 yards, three touchdowns, one interception, and he's taken three sacks in just two games of work. He's also got 37 carries for 273 yards, 7.5 yards per carry, and a rushing touchdown. Two games of work, Rob. This is the second leading rusher in just two games. It's nuts. This dude can really, really run the rock. Coastal's back to using kind of a run-first option offense, and that's been doubly true since Vasco came in. They've rushed for 466 yards in the last two games on a whopping 89 carries. That's 45 carries per game, good for 5.2 yards per carry. They have five rushing touchdowns in that time. These dudes are pounding it, so get ready. They get the ball to a lot of guys in the running game. Six guys got it and against Old Dominion. Eight guys carried the rock against Texas State. Like, this game is going to look a little like a Service Academy game in terms of the way Army better defend this offense, because these guys run the ball, they run the crap out of the ball, and they spread it around using all kinds of crazy option principles. Worth noting, too, that Coastal's offense has managed 34 minutes of time of possession in both of the last 2 weeks. So if Army can't get off the field, this is going to be a long, and I do mean long, day. Yeah, you want to tell us about the defense?
Yeah, so for the defense, they have a decent rushing defense. It looks like mostly due to the D-line play and the safeties coming up in run support. They're allowing 150 yards per game, rushing at 4.4 yards a carry. They're 68th in the country. They've only given up eight rushing touchdowns all season. Clayton Isabel leads the team in tackles. He has 63 tackles total, 39 solo, one sack, five passes defense, and three picks. Defensive end Michael Mason has 59 tackles, 22 solo, 4.5 sacks, and one forced fumble and a fumble recovery. Linebackers are fourth and fifth tacklers. You got JT Killian and Shane Bruce, both have 42 tackles with 14 or 15 solo and an interception. This is a ball hawking defense. They get the ball out. They have 12 interceptions, seven forced fumbles, and six recoveries. Their turnover margin is plus five. They're 26th in the nation. They're getting after the football in all aspects. I'll take special teams as well. Their kicker, Cade Henley, he's good at short range. He's 18 for 18 at extra points. He's 9 and 12 in field goals. He has two misses, one from 30-plus and then one from 40-plus. Punter Evan Crenshaw averages about 46 yards per punt, but Coastal Carolina gave up two longish punt returns last week against Texas State, 17-yard return and 16-yard return. So, again, this is going to be one of those complimentary football games because you've got a ball control offense, a ball-hawking defense, and a halfway decent special teams. I will tell you, if I'm the Coastal coach, knowing that my, place kicker is not all that great, I am probably going to go for it a lot on fourth down. Like you said, this is going to look very, very much like a Service Academy game. Bet the under on it because there's going to be very few possessions, and expect to see another score, probably like the Holy Cross game, 17, 14, 21, 17, something like that, just because, these offenses, they can score, but they also control the ball en route to the end zone.
As of this recording, the weather is supposed to call for showers early with sun late in the day. Got a high around 50 degrees, 10 to 15 miles per hour of wind. Like, sort of depending on how that shakes out, it might be chilly for a team from Myrtle Beach. We'll see. I don't know if I hope for that or not because I'm going to be in the stands. I don't really want to freeze my ass off, but I guess if Army wins, then I can have blue fingers. Line of the game opened at Army plus 5.5. It's since slid in the Black Knights' direction to just plus 4.5. So that means Coastal is a 4.5-point favorite. I take that to mean that bettors are not expecting McCall to play. Probably someone somewhere knows something, but having said that, watch the dude trot out there. Who knows? Over-under sits at 44.5. As you said, that's a pretty low total. Under, again, seems like a safe bet because these teams are going to run the ball a lot. And as always, CBS Sports has coverage starting at noon. So, Rob, man, you said 1-0 this week. You want to tell us about it?
Yeah, that's it, man. That's the only thing that doesn't matter, right? That's our thought. That's my thought for this week is just, hey, 1-0, complimentary football. I don't care how you get it done, but get it done. Like, I think there's opportunity given the way that the punter struggled the last couple weeks for Army to get out there and get after him and create something to happen in special teams. However, given the fact that their kicker, their place kicker is not all that great, I don't expect to see a lot of punts or kicks because I think they're going to go for it. Plus, you've got to take advantage of your strengths. And if you've got a good solid running base now with the freshman quarterback, you're going to come at him. I think, honestly, it would be foolish for Coastal's coach to put in Grayson McCall, even if he is healthy, Absolutely. With what's left on the schedule, plus the way that the kid's been playing, man. Like, you don't want to pull a guy who's actually been leading the team to wins, you know. And the guy's been, you know, putting on. He's got, you know, the top. He's the leading rusher in two games. Like, why take him out? You know. And if I've watched any film on Army, like, I think that's the weakness that I would try to exploit, not trying to get something over the top. So,
yeah, absolutely. No, nobody's been super. I don't want to say nobody because LSU had some success, but not a lot of teams have thrown over the top all over Army. But lots of dudes have run their quarterbacks, you know, once a play breaks down. So I got to say, if Army's rushing defense shows up, I think the Black Knights have every chance in this game. Certainly, we've seen that that's possible. You know, they showed up against Air Force against highly similar kind of offense. So who knows? I will say it's senior day, and sometimes Army doesn't play super well on senior day. It just seems like the hoopla sort of gets the team's battle rhythm off, which is unfortunate. But, dude, Army has everything to play for this week. They got a chance to completely change the narrative of this season. Like, it's just been a down year. Like, that's the narrative right now. It's a down year. But if they get a win this week, they have every chance to finish strong with a 500 record. They'll have wins over UTSA, Air Force, freaking Holy Cross, and Coastal Carolina. Every single one of those teams is a potential conference winner. Like, that's nuts. That is the way to finish your season. So, I don't know. I honestly don't know if they can do it. This Coastal team is really good, but man, it would be awesome. I mean, if you really want to show that you've turned the corner and you put the madness of this early season behind you, like, pull out all the stops and get this win, because that would really change things, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing better than putting, you know, back-to-back home wins. And that's one of the things that's under Coach Monk, and that's been one of the staples, is, you know, continuing to win at Mikey Stadium.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, unless you have an opponent like Wake Forest in the 2017 game, like, that was the only game where you're just like, man, like, these dudes are going to go crazy, you know, over here. And like, it happened. Absolutely. It was a great game. But, you know, I think that was the last time that, like, people kind of went into the game going, I don't know if they can pull this off. I mean, I think, honestly, we are basically in the same position in week 12 as we were last season. You know, looking at how everything is going to pan out, it just feels a little bit worse, because there were very winnable games that we could have won. Whereas, like, last year, I think, like, there was illness, injury, and things that, like, everybody could basically know about. That was kind of, it's like public knowledge at that point that, like, guys were hurting and sick. And so it was a little bit easier to take. It was like, hey, if half the team is down with the flu, we get it, you know?
Yeah.
But again, we're always going to be tight-lipped with injuries, though.
You don't want to look back at the past and, like, yeah, is it a shame that they dropped a couple of those winnable games early? Yeah, it is. But thinking about that now is just going to, like, you got to put that behind you and move forward. You know, from where we are right now, they've got a chance to finish strong. That'd be amazing. Like, let's do that. That's what we want to do.
Like, 1-0 this week, and then win the Commander in Chief trophy. I think that's
solid. Solid.
Yeah. But, well, I mean, think about it. For many, many years, the Army fandom would have been happy with the 2-win season, as long as it was Air Force and Navy. You know?
Yeah. Like, right.
Like,
exactly.
It's an embarrassment of riches. Like, when you win, like, people expect you to win. Like, it's just like Alabama. Like, oh my gosh, Alabama lost one game. And everybody's freaking out. Like, why? Because Alabama lost one game. Like, oh, we need to hire, you know, send Coach Prime to Bama. You know, like, you heard all the crazy stuff at the beginning of the year. But the reality of it was like, it literally, you know, sometimes people miss.
Yeah.
You're not going to hit the target 100% of the time. And this is one of those seasons. I think, like I said, Army fans have just been spoiled with 8-plus win seasons for so long that you have 2 back-to-back, you know, not-so-great years. Still, 500 is a decent year, you know, by comparison to everybody else. And again, we're not in the SEC, thank God. But, you know, the move to the American legitimately increases Army's chances. And if you have an off year like this year or last year, guess what? Because you're playing all FBS competition, you're going to a bowl game.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing.
Well, you said, the expectation has changed, right? This year, I didn't see any prognosticators in the preseason that said, oh, you know, Army's going to win 8 games. Like, I saw that 0% of the places. I personally thought Army had a chance to win 8 games. And if you look at the way the season shook out, they probably did have a chance. But, you know, like I said, we are where we are. Let's go 1-0 this week. finish out strong. Like, this team, they have everything to play for. They can set themselves up strong going into the Navy game, set themselves up strong, you know, putting this offense in, getting ready to go into the American. Like, this team can really, you know, get better every week and finish out and let people know, hey, we're coming. And that's good. So
yeah, anyway, here's ultimately, you know, at the end of the day, what you want is like all the teams that are like, oh, hey, welcome Army to the American Conference. Like, as soon as the season's over, like, crap, here they come. You know, like, that's what we actually
that's
want.
What you want.
You know, you want opposing teams to be like, okay, these guys are on the schedule. We got to figure out how to take care of them.
Let's talk fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
Rob.
All right, so I'm recycling this one from last week. Army has a passing touchdown this week.
I will say fact. You know, what the hell? I say fact.
I'm going to say fact because I would like to see them get the passing game open, and that's the only reason why I'm saying fact is because I think, you know, we have to get some downfield passes because there's no vertical threat. Then the safeties are still going to be cheating up and they're going to be right outside the box and it makes it easier for them to stop the run. So we have to get something over the top to keep the defense honest.
Well, and I feel like we've seen what this looks like, right? The first half, they sit there and they run the option. They go for like 5.5 yards per play. Eventually those safeties come down into the box and then you have a choice. You can either make some of those throws or the offense is going to go nowhere. This is what we've seen. And it's okay. That's fine. That's football. I got it. You know, move, counter move. You got to make the counter move, you know?
Yep, for sure.
So anyway, so I'm going to re-up and say this feels like a Kanye Udo week. Like, this especially is feels like a Kanye Udo thing. Like, he plays excellent in these high-leverage spots against these good defenses. You know, we haven't seen him, like, run some dudes over in a while, but I'm going to say Kanye Udo runs for 100-plus yards. Rob?
I'm going to say fiction, but I think he's going to get at least one rushing touchdown.
Oh, that's cool.
You know, I don't know if he's going to get 100 plus, but I could say like 75 or 80 with a TD. I'll take that.
All right. Well, I'll say fact, and we'll just see how it shakes out. Friends, do you like Army football but hate social media? Man, who doesn't? Social media sucks. You're on there arguing with Navy Daddy 69 about whether goats taste better than mules. Like, why are you even talking about eating a mule anyway? That's stupid. Don't do that. Instead, go to askforfootball.com/subscribe and get on our mailing list. We send out one email per week with links to that week's content. It is too easy. Keep up with Army sports with As for Football. And if you're already on the mailing list, sign up one of your friends who likes Army football but doesn't get our mailer. Like, help us grow this thing, man. We lost a sponsor, you may have noticed. And you know what? It's fine. I'm not upset. I'm actually grateful that we had the sponsor for as long as we did. And that's awesome. You know, people make business decisions and that's okay. But we as a team have decided, you know, we want to grow the fan base. We want to grow Patreon to try to make up that revenue because that's really who we're trying to serve. So help us reach out to your friends who like as Army football, but hate social media through the power of our mailing list. That's what we're asking you to do this week. You got a favorite thing, Rob?
I don't, but I do have one last comment on the game coming up this weekend. I think it's going to be a quarterback duel. So I think whichever quarterback plays the most mistake-free football is probably going to end up winning the game. And, I mean, we've seen that all season. And if you're not listening to College Football Roundtable, that's one of the big discussions that we have all the time is, like, quarterback play. And I think this game is going to boil down to it because if you have two teams – like, you both got thoroughbreds in the backfield. Both of the quarterbacks have made great plays with their legs. Who can make the play with their arm and who can hold on to the football? That's going to be the difference in the game, to be completely honest. And so I think I'm looking forward to this one, you know, and I'm sad that it's not right up the street because, you know, Coastal Carolina is only like an hour drive away from me. So it would be nice to be able to go watch the game in person. But
well, if you can get here, I got a ticket for you. True story.
Nice. Nice. But I think this matchup with Coastal is again winnable game and the team knows what they need to do. I mean, I think everybody in the Army football fandom knows what they need to do. And one last thing, and I'll point everybody back, like, there are a lot of Army football quote unquote fan groups on social media.
That's the truth.
all you have to do is wade into one of them for a weekend, and you will realize the quality of stuff that is coming out of Ask for Football by comparison, because there are some people that are salty, never play football, don't understand the game, you know, and all they do is complain about, you know, I can remember back when, you know, Roger Staubach was the quarterback for Navy and they all paused to go to World War II, you know, and like, that's not an exaggeration. Like, I've seen stuff like that. So, you know, if you want to have a positive experience with Army football, regardless of the record, like, our favorite thing is this, like, join us and live to Ask for Football, because we put the effort in and we intentionally like vent to each other, you know,
and then we try
and bring as much positivity to the season as we can.
Well, you have to embrace the absurdity of it, right? I mean, you know, I said this a couple of weeks ago, Army football is like a test of faith. You know, after the UMass game, it's like, it was literally like a gut check for your faith. Like, are you a believer in Army football? And if you were, you were rewarded. And if you weren't, like, you know who you are.
Yeah.
So,
for sure.
Anyway. All right, let's close it out, man. I guess I'm just going to say one more thing, and that's beat Coastal Carolina.
And beat them with a stick.
Thanks, guys. See ya.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Tune in next week as Ask for Football brings you more Army football analysis. We'd like to thank our sponsor, FireBarn.com. FireBarn is the world's first online platform for auctions and sales of farm animals. FireBarn is dedicated to helping small farmers in America and has extended special discounts to military veterans who want to continue the growth of the small farming industry. Go to FireBarn.com/military. That's FireBarn, B-Y-R-E. FireBarn.com to learn more, or to get started, email them at info@firebarn.com. Thanks again for listening to the Army Football Show. And as always, beat Navy.